Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, we're going to be speaking about what's going on at Women's Health Services. There's some new events and seminars and things like that coming up. Right now, I would like to welcome Simone Swan. She is an architect specializing in earth architecture, adobe architecture, and she will be at the CCA tomorrow night, Tuesday, February 10th, to present the film The Future of Mud, which is part of the African Effect Film Festival at the CCA. And Jason Silverman is the director of the African Effect Film Festival, and he's the Cinematech director at the CCA. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
So this film, The Future of Mud, it's kind of a crazy sort of semi-documentary with a lot of the flavor of the country Mali, the city Djeni in Mali, that is an Islamic city that has incredible adobe architecture. They've got mosques made of basically mud building. This is a place where you have worked, Simone.
Well, I've been there twice, and I can't wait to go back, which I will soon. The work I have done there was mainly investigation. I haven't done adobe building there, but it's a fascinating city. I was there in 2000, and then last year, in February 08, during the Getty Conference, and I noticed a huge change, actually, for the worse, unfortunately. It wasn't as clean as it used to be, but otherwise the architecture is so seductive that you can't help but be happy there.
Now, they use adobe architecture, which we use here in New Mexico, and which is universal, I think, in desert climates all around the world. What is going on in that city in particular? I mean, they build huge structures out of adobe, which I didn't even know was possible.
Yes, neither did I, actually, until I saw the mosque. Of course, it's not an ancient mosque. It's a copy of an old one. It's been rebuilt. And I think that Djeni is prized because of the high quality of the design in the architecture, really. And throughout Mali, but there you are, it's almost an island. And every building is made of adobe. There's been hardly any encroachment. I think that in the film, which you're going to show, Jason, they do show some recent cement architecture, which is, of course, an insult. isn't there some in the film? Yeah, she mentions it. It's a film by Susan Vogel, who I think I met her in New York when she was working at the African Museum, no? Yes. And it's really worth seeing, mainly because it's about adobe. Which I think is a very important material because it really does have a future. The more leisure that people have, the more time they'll have to build out of adobe. And of course, the material is extremely healthy. And it will be so much cheaper than the industrial materials that you have to transport for miles, that I think there's going to be a real renaissance in adobe. And so I'm really very happy to be a designer in adobe. I studied it with Hassan Fathi in Egypt. And I formed the Adobe Alliance, where twice a year we teach the building of adobe houses. We teach the foundation, the walls, how to put fenestration in, and roofs, the cheapest roof of adobe is without wood and made in the configuration of a vault or a dome. And that's what we're going to do February 27, we teach the walls, and in October, we teach the roofs.
We're talking to Simone Swan, Adobe architect. What are the similarities and what are the differences between the way they use Adobe in Mali and the way that we use it here in northern New Mexico?
Well, actually, I'm more familiar with the way they use it in Mali than here. They're really basically, as long as you're making pure Adobe bricks and not stabilized bricks, there's not much difference.
What's a pure Adobe brick?
It is earth and water and straw.
And what's a
stabilized 3% is here it's stabilized with cement, and completely stabilized at 5% with cement, or actually tar, bitumen, to make it more waterproof. I've never used stabilized adobes because where I build on the Tex-Mex border, it's not necessary.
When you build with adobe, it seems that because it's made of earth and straw, which are readily available materials, you dig a hole, you add water, you put in some straw, you shape it into bricks, it should be an inexpensive material. It's way more expensive to build an adobe house than it is to build another kind of house. Why is that?
Well, no, that's here.
Here, I mean here.
That's not in Texas at all.
No, but here.
Well, because you have, I think it's because the contractors have written the codes.
Can you say more about that?
So I imagine that I haven't built here, mainly because I don't like to follow the codes. But probably because the contractors want to make more money.
Now, when you build on the Tex-Mex border, How do you build there? Tell us.
Well, we don't have contractors. We have artisans. And
are you on the Mexico side or the Texas side?
I'm on the Texas side because it's much easier with telephone and internet and so on. But the good workers, unfortunately, are right across the river on the other side. And once in a while, we can get a Mexican worker if he or she has the proper papers, because our immigration doesn't make it very easy for them to cross over, whereas we can cross any time. I go across to buy lime and to have dinner and so on. But we do use people who know about Adobe. I suppose they do here too, to build houses in Santa Fe. There aren't very many, I think.
What are the advantages of using adobe as a building material?
One, it's not expensive, unless it's made to be expensive. And two, it's very healthy, and climatically comfortable. If your walls are thick enough, you have the walls are insulated. The code here is that the walls are thinner and you have to add insulation, which I would never do. I would never cover my house with styrofoam and things like that.
Why not?
Oh, first of all, because it's a toxic material. Second, it would prevent your house from breathing. One of the great advantages of adobe is that it breathes, which means that the humidity in your house varies every 24 hours. There's a time lag in temperature. For example, when your house has accumulated the heat of the sun during the day, it will give it back during the night. Whereas during the day, it gives you the coolness that accumulated during the night. It's a wonderful rhythmic thing that you don't want to block with the plastic foam. At least I don't.
We're talking to Simone Swan. So what are the necessities for the maintenance of adobe? One of the things that we see in this film, The Future of Mud, is the way in which there are just dozens of artisans all over the buildings crawling up and down like, as they say themselves, like lizards.
Yes.
Replastering. Every year they replaster the mosque, and people who work outside of the city come home, and it's a celebration, it's a festival, and they all get up on the building and replaster, and it's some great footage in the movie where they're absolutely covered with mud, with adobe mud. But that's a lot of maintenance for a building.
Yes, it is. It's great fun in the movie to see that. I had never seen it in Chennai because I was there during dry seasons. But you see, they have much more rain than we do. Much more. So they have to plaster every year.
So that washes away.
And yes, it washes away.
In the movie, it also takes on the role of ceremony and of community building.
Yes.
And it suggests a kind of connection that the community has with the places they live.
Sort of like in Taos, huh?
Yeah,
so
the places that you live are treated with a level of respect and honor that you don't get here in the commodity culture. And I just went on a tour of some of the northern pueblos with Nora Naranjo Morse, who's a Santa Clara artist. And we were looking at the old adobe structures in the town centers, which are crumbling, but they were architectures. They were designs that were developed over, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years and refined. They've now been supplanted by HUD housing, by tract housing that's designed from elsewhere and is just plopped down on the outskirts of town. And the separation of communities' housing from the community itself is a real devastating loss for people. I mean, people used to build these houses together.
Yes.
And there would be way of building communal fiber by, you know, people would connect through this process. And in Chennai, you can see in the movie that they do that annually. There's this process by which everyone gets together, you replaster the mosque, and then you celebrate. And it's an amazing, that in itself is amazing.
We're talking
about why is it lost in the pueblo?
I think it's economics, and it's the encroachment of kind of this commodity housing. Like you mentioned, it's about perhaps about the contractor's writing code, but the federal government, the form of aid they provide has been housing, and the housing comes in a certain form, and that's the form of prefab houses rather than in form of aid to build and rebuild and maintain the traditional architecture and design.
But to get back to maintenance, I would say that our houses in the Big Bend don't need any more maintenance than, say, a house with white trim in Connecticut. I did replaster the house with earth plaster. No cement in it or no stucco. It's earth and wheat straw, which is hollow and wicks out the water. And we have a lot of prickly pear, so we use prickly pear juice. It's like Elmer's glue.
You use prickly pear juice to as a binding agent?
Yes. And I read that in a paper from Catholic University in Peru. So we tried it because we have prickly pear everywhere.
It does make one think that you really do have to read the papers from places where there's real indigenous traditions in order to find out those kinds of technologies. You're not going to get it at MIT.
No, you're not. And also, what you end up realizing is that every environment will yield exactly what you need. So that in other environments, you can use pine needles or goat hair in the adobe.
And do people use goat hair?
Yeah. Horse hair.
Yeah, and I watched a film, yes, just coincidentally, I watched a film from a documentary from Brazil, and, you know, out of nowhere I was watching this worker make bricks from mud. And it just seems like it's almost a cultural universal. That
it's a universal, of course it is, yes.
Now, how did you, Jason, find this film for the African Effect Film Festival?
Well, actually, we have an ongoing partnership with the American Institute of Architects, the Santa Fe branch. And so we've done a couple series with them. And I am generally poking around looking for interesting films in architecture, and particularly ones that we can connect to Santa Fe. And so I came across this. It's distributed by Icarus Films, who we work with frequently. They're in New York. And so I suggested it to John Barton at the AIA, and he was interested. And then, you know, the timing worked out, folding it into the African Effect Festival. And so I was just looking around for the expert, the local experts on Adobe, and I, of course, immediately came on to Simone and Beverly Spears.
I'm flattered, yes.
And Beverly, who wrote, you know, the definitive book on Adobe architecture, mm-hmm. and who is one of the most prominent architects in town. So we're going to have a discussion and a slideshow following the screening of the film.
With Simone Swan and Beverly Spears. And this is all tomorrow, February 10th, Tuesday at 7:30 at the CCA. The film is called The Future of Mud. It's a strange film because you can't quite call it a documentary because some of the characters in it, whom you see doing a kind of weird, stilted, artificial dialogue, aren't even really the people who the movie makes them out to be. It's odd.
Yeah, it's an odd
but
hybrid.
But they're such charming people.
They're very charming
they're
people.
They're really
I've
lovely.
I've never had such a desire in my life to get on an airplane and go to Africa as seeing this film.
It, which is one of the interesting things about the festival in general, and you and I have talked about this before. You know, so much of what we read about and see in terms of Africa, so much of what the mainstream media and our history books and our sociology books tell us about Africa and the literature, the Western literature, is that it's a dark, mysterious, dangerous place. And, of course...
Full of war, genocide, and AIDS.
Right, and famine.
And famine.
And, of course, once you go, you realize it's pretty much the exact opposite, and that there is...
It's full of laughter and poetry and dance and lovely music.
Beautiful architecture and wonderful food,
yes,
and incredible
yes.
people and deep, deep cultural traditions. And there is yes. a lot that we as Americans can learn from that. And that's the theme that's running through this year's festival, too.
Very much so.
And so, when you know, this film is a perfect example of that. There, you know, here in Santa Fe, where there's been a lot of talk about green building and about zero emissions building, to see an example of a community that's rallying around indigenous building techniques is really... relevant for what we're going through now.
And where you see the tradition of masonry being passed on from fathers to sons, and where it really does have kind of a deeper, I don't know if you want to call it spiritual significance, but it's a very deep profession. It's not like just a what you might call manual labor.
It is a spiritual. There's a lot of spirituality in adobe building. I noticed that in the workshops we give. And the moment people have mud up to their armpits, they're transformed.
It's amazing. There's, I can't remember the name of the organization, but I've gone and mudded some old churches and some of the old villages, and it's really...
Cornerstones,
of course.
In New Mexico.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's just this incredible feeling to say, we're going to take from the earth and restore something that was built from the earth. And it just, you know, you just see a sense of continuity there that you just don't get it with these plasterboard walls here.
It's cosmic.
Jason, you are, just let me take this opportunity to ask you about your own work. You were working on a film yourself.
Right. Yeah, I'm working on a film about...
Are we allowed to ask you this?
Of course.
Okay.
I'll talk about Semben anytime. I'm working on a film about the Senegalese novelist and filmmaker Ousmane Semben.
Whom we talked about with Samba Gajiho on the
Right,
on
who's
the
my filmmaking partner. Yeah, and more we can learn from Africa. I mean, this is the one reason I've invested myself in this project is that Semben's example is of someone who said we can make revolution by telling stories, And
I
know
he's a master storyteller.
A master
Amazing.
Storyteller. And of course, you know this as someone who tells stories daily. Is that there are other ways to make revolution, other ways to envision a progressive future than by political, you know, straightforward political activism or picking up a weapon. And you know, this is of course a really valuable message to share with people now, when we do want to find ways to confront and offer alternatives to the messages that we get from our mainstream corporatized media.
Ignorance.
Which that would be a good pitch for your next fund drive.
Yes, we will have you on. This is coming up very soon, and Jason Silver will be here to repeat what he just said.
Yeah, so Senben, so we've been back and forth to Senegal. Samba heads off.
Oh, you have.
Yeah, and Samba heads off to Burkina Faso to present on the film at FESPACO, which is the every 2 years they have a festival of Pan-African film, and it's been this amazing journey to figure this out, and you know, just to confront my own, you know, to break the ideological containers I had in terms of you know, what I understood about African culture. It's like I said, it's the opposite end of the spectrum from what you'd expect.
Yeah, you can't help it.
Yeah, can't wait to go back.
So The Future of Mud is screening tomorrow night, Tuesday the 10th of February, and then The African Effect winds up with, on Wednesday and Thursday, two more screenings of the film Ballast, which we've also talked about on this program, which is an extraordinary act of storytelling.
It really
is. I can't say enough about this film. If, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already gone to see it, it's definitely an opportunity. And it's premiering here at Santa Fe. How'd you pull that off?
Well, it's played festivals, and you know, it's not the kind of film that is going to play at the multiplex.
Although one wishes it would.
Wishes it would. Not these days, unfortunately. And so the filmmaker, you know, made some attempts to try to get it out into theaters. I thought the Santa Fe audience would respond well to it, and so contacted him directly, you know, and secured the print.
And it's obviously not the festival premiere, but it's the theatrical premiere of this film. We've got a couple of minutes left. Jason, anything else you want to let us know about what's happening at the CCA and in your work as director of the Cinematheque?
Well, I have to give one other pitch, which is we've got the Steven Soderbergh film, Shay, opening on Friday. In two parts. We're going to play mostly part one, week one, and then we'll play...
As in Benicio del Toro,
exactly.
Che Guevara.
4 hours of Che Guevara.
Four hours of Benicio del Toro.
Right, for you ladies out there.
Che is a chick flick.
Yeah, it's an odd chick flick, but yeah.
I'm just kidding. Haven't seen it yet. Is it? It's
fantastic.
Apparently, it's a tour
fantastic.
De force.
It's 4 hours worth of full-on Soderbergh in challenging filmmaker mode, but it's really a worthwhile film, and I think, the kind that Santa Fe will respond to. So, yeah, we've got a full schedule of interesting stuff coming up. And, yeah.
Simone Swan, if people want to get involved in learning more about Earth Architecture, Adobe, find out more about your work, what would they have to do?
Shall I give you my website?
Sure.
It's Swan, my name, with one N, at AdobeAlliance.org.
And so that's your email, swan@adobealliance.org, and presumably
No, that's my website.
The website is adobealliance.org.
Yes.
And
yes, I'm so sorry. It is my email first, yes.
And now you've given your email on the air, and people can contact you. So that's about all for now. I want to thank you both so much for being with us here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Simone Swan is an architect specializing in Adobe architecture, and she and Beverly Spears will present the film The Future of Mud at the Center for Contemporary Arts in Santa Fe tomorrow at 7:30 in the evening. It's part of the African Effect Film Festival. To find out more about that, go to ccasantafe.org. or call 982-1338. And Jason Silverman is the director of this film festival and of the Cinematheque at the CCA. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a little break right now. And when we come back, we'll be talking about women's health. Please stay tuned to KSFR.